our children to come forward for our children's moments. Scripture lesson this morning, as you can see, comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 28-43a, the first half or the first part of verse 43. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit since, I think, January 6th, the first Sunday in January. And we've come now to self-control. And that is our topic for today. And I want to remind us how we got here. If you would, please go to the next slide. If you'll remember in our little graph here, love is the starting point. God is love. We only can love because God has first loved us. And so we know that love comes from God. And He shows us what love looks like. And as love grows in our lives, it begins to encompass these other fruits. And as love grows, we learn joy, how we express that love of God to others. It expands into peace, what we receive from God, and what then we can give to others as we bring that love and that joy to them. That patience, right? That non-anxious waiting on God and recognizing that God's time is different than our time. We move then to kindness, right? Seeing the value in others, recognizing Christ in others, whether we agree with them or not. And then we move to goodness. And we talked about God's original intent in creation, how He created us, and we were good. And it's that call back to that goodness by God's grace. And then we talked of faithfulness, and that's that focused living, focusing on Christ in the midst of our living, and being mindful of who Christ calls us to be, and keeping our eyes on Him in all things. And then last week, we looked at gentleness, treating others with compassion, being mindful of others, and seeking to be perfect and be compassionate as our Heavenly Father is perfect and compassionate. And today, then we enter into self-control. And I believe, as I mentioned before, that self-control is the sum total of all of these things. It begins with love, and as it continues to grow, we begin to understand what this idea of self-control is. With that being said, I want us to hear now from God's Word, Luke chapter 9, verses 28, the first part of verse 43. Hear now the word of our Lord. About 8 days after Jesus said these things, He took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. As He was praying, the appearance of His face changed, and His clothes flashed white like lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with Him. They were clothed with heavenly splendor and spoke about Jesus' departure, which He would achieve in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were almost overcome by sleep, but they managed to stay awake and saw His glory as well as the two men with Him. And the two men were about to leave Jesus. Peter said to Him, "Master, it's good that we're here. We should construct 3 shrines, one for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But He didn't know what He was saying. Peter was still speaking when a cloud overshadowed them. As they entered the cloud, they were overcome with awe. Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is My Son, My chosen one. Listen to Him." Even as the voice spoke, Jesus was found alone. They were speechless, and at the time told no one what they had seen. The next day, when Jesus, Peter, John, and James had come down from the mountain, a large crowd met Jesus. A man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to take a look at my son, my only child. Look, a spirit seizes him, and without any warning, he screams. It shakes him, causes him to foam at the mouth. It tortures him and rarely leaves him alone. I begged your disciples to throw it out, but they couldn't." Jesus answered, "You faithless and crooked generation, how long will I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." While He was coming, the demon threw him down and shook him violently. Jesus spoke harshly to the unclean spirit, "Healed the child. and gave him back to his father. Everyone was overwhelmed by God's greatness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us. For this time we could gather together as your people. We remind us of your grace. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm always intrigued when I put my sermons together and when I start to look at what I'm going to work on, and I begin to get into those weeks when I get to these specific passages and how the week seems so fitting to the passage that's before us. Now, several of you know, a couple days ago, I was at home on Thursday morning, and I blew my nose, and the result of that was a hematoma that came up. The doctor said, I think the exact words were, I am an aggressive nose blower. And so I need to exhibit a little self-control. See what I did there, yes. A little self-control in that endeavor. And I just can't help but see some of God's humor. I think God gets a good kick out of things he gets to experience with us. But today we're looking at self-control. We're looking at what it means to be a self-controlled people. And really, I think we've been looking at this the last 9 weeks. We've been looking step by step at what it means to be self-controlled. Self-control, as I mentioned, the very first day, is the realization of a sanctified life, is how I've defined it, how I've begun to look at it. Sanctification for us as United Methodists is the pursuit of perfection in Jesus Christ, being made perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, the way Jesus alludes to that in Matthew chapter 5. We define sanctification as growing in grace, growing in our understanding of God, maturing as Christians. Now, with our confirmation class, one of the things we do during one of our retreats is we talk about grace and we build a grace house. How many of you all have seen some of the grace houses from time to time over the last several years down in the fellowship hall? And these grace houses, they show us and help us to understand the three aspects of grace as John Wesley kind of parses them out for us. And the first one is the porch of the house, and it's prevenient grace. It's God's initiating love in our lives. It is prevenient grace that enables us to know that there is a God. It's that prevenient grace of God that calls us to him. And so the porch is that prevenient grace. It's that love that initiates, that begins all of this. We move then to the door of the house, which is justifying. And we understand justifying grace to be that decision, that intentional decision to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And so we go through the door. We make that decision to be a follower. And then sanctifying grace is the opportunity we have to be in the house, to explore all that there is to explore. How many of you all have ever been invited to somebody's house before? Oh, good. There's more of you than I would have thought. When you get to that house, right, usually there's a meal involved and you have an opportunity to sit at the table with these people, maybe to get to know them a little bit better. Maybe you begin to see things in their house, pictures or different decorative items. And there are stories often associated with these. And as you see these, you get to know that person a little bit better. And so as we are in the house, we are learning more about who God is. When we go to the bathroom in the house, maybe we open the medicine cabinet just to see what's there, to get to know God a little better. I don't do that when I visit with you. But we have the opportunity to get to know God better, to grow in that understanding of who God is and who we are. Sanctification is our response to God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. What I love about the order that this is in is that we have this salvation in Jesus Christ and begin to learn more about God. The reason that's important is because we're not earning our salvation. There aren't a specific number of things you need to know or do or or accomplish before God is willing to save you through Jesus Christ. The salvation is that starting point after we are made aware of who God is by His forgiveness of grace. And then we learn more about who God is. We spend time doing these good works in a loving, as a loving response to the salvation we have received. We come to church and we learn about God because He has saved us, not so that He will. Self-control is our response to God's grace, our response to God's love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and love. When we speak of self-control, we recognize, hopefully, that this is a gift given to us from God. This is a fruit of the Spirit. The self in self-control is not this sense of selfish egotism. All right? I want us to be mindful that when we talk about self-control, we're not talking about the things we are doing in and of ourselves. The self-control is what we are able to do because God's grace is present in our lives. God is the one who gives us the grace to say no to sin, to say yes to obedience. We do not control ourselves by ourselves. Has anyone ever tried to control yourself? All right, let me ask another question. Has anyone ever put a New Year's resolution out there before? Right? Anyone ever failed at doing that? Right? It's not a controlling of ourselves, but rather we give ourselves to the Father as Jesus did. We give ourselves to God, knowing and recognizing that He is in control. Self-control is the realization of God's grace, presence in us and through us and around us. Self-control reminds us also that we are active participants in God's grace. That's the other thing I think that's important. Again, it's not something we do in and of ourselves, but the fact that self is in there reminds us that we are responsible persons. We are active participants and active agents in God's saving work. We cannot say that somebody made us do something. Because guess what? Ultimately, we made the decision to do it or not. There is responsibility that we must carry, that we must recognize. That's the self part. We are not victims, as we often tend to portray ourselves before God. We are responsible. It recognizes our responsibility to meet God's grace with obedience. And that's what the story of the Transfiguration is all about. Jesus, man, God, who meets with God. And this explosion of grace and this explosion of magnificent splendor takes place. And it's this meeting of the divine and the human in ways that we've never seen. And Jesus at this point, especially in Luke's gospel, has already given Himself over to do whatever His Father asks. The self is meant to give control over to God. That is our primary responsibility. To give control to God. To give God all the things that we have to offer. Knowing that He is going to invest it all. Knowing that He is going to steward it appropriately. Knowing that He is going to set out to make us who He wants us to be. We are not passive agents in life, but we're called to live actively, faithful lives. Self-control is how we do this, faithfully. Self-control encompasses, as I've mentioned already, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, and the gentleness that we are called to exhibit. And when we are doing these things, we are living a self-controlled life. We recognize our own limitations, our own frailties, and we recognize also God's infiniteness, and God's love, and God's grace, and these things meet, and we can see how God is calling. Peter, James, and John experienced something great in this passage. How many of us have experienced something great this morning? In those moments, we have the divine, the human, the infinite, and the finite coming together to see amazing things. But as we grow in our fruit, we begin to exhibit self-control in ways that maybe we never thought were possible. The transfiguration of Jesus shows us how Jesus understood all of this. The transfiguration wasn't for Jesus alone, but it was for us, so that we might know more of who He is and know more of what it looks like for us to be like Him. We see at the end of this passage, starting in verse 37, Jesus comes down the mountain. Peter, James, and John come down the mountain. They're not met with excitement or exuberance. They are met with another problem. Because even when we have those divine encounters, life still goes on. And we have to encounter the things that we tend to encounter. And in the midst of this, Jesus exhibits self-control. In the midst of this, Jesus begins and continues to show us what is a joyful, peaceful, and patient, kind, good, faithful, and gentle. As we grow in the fruit of the Spirit, and as it grows in our lives, we become transformed into the image of Christ. We begin and begin to see that we are being made perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect. And that is the work of sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace sees us, loves us, begins to recognize who we are, and calls us to be greater. Calls us to be better. Calls us to be more like. Self-control today is the goal. It is the full expression of our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness on display. It is the realization of a sanctified life. I hope and pray that we might be self-controlled, that we might recognize that control is not something we really probably ever have, and recognize that God has that. On Wednesday, we begin Lent. Maybe you will fast from something. Maybe you will put something aside and say, I'm going to spend time denying self, so that I can draw nearer to God in preparation for Easter Sunday. I want us to be mindful of this act of self-control that many of us will undertake. I want us to see it as an expression of the fruit of the Spirit active in our life. And I hope and pray that as the weeks of Lent continue on towards Easter, that we would get a better sense of who we are and a better sense of who God is, so that we might be more like Him. And who knows? We may show up on Easter morning and there's a peace and patience. That is my hope. That is my hope. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for all the things that You have done and continue to do. Today I pray that we would recognize our role in that. Help us to recognize our responsibility to others. Help us to do what You have called us to do. To love God, to love our neighbors, to intentionally make disciples of Jesus Christ in our church, throughout our community. May we be a people of self-control. People who recognize that the fruit of Your Spirit is indeed a fruit of Your Spirit. May we be loving.